All right, you're back in the DFSR, and we're here with our daily fantasy baseball podcast for Monday, August 29th. I am Doug Norrie, and I am sitting all by my lonesome today. Going to do a solo podcast about the baseball slate for here on Monday. If this is your first time with us, it's dailyfantasysportsrankings.com, DFSR.com for short. Here to help you get started for FanDuel and DraftKings Major League Baseball lineups, where you can go and grab a free trial to our projection system powered by Lineup Labs. That's going to help you one-touch calculate optimal lineups for FanDuel and DraftKings. That's MLB. We have a free, actually now it's about a 1.5-week trial that will take you through the first games of football season as well. So if you head over, you grab that free trial, that'll give you MLB projections every day for, you know, from now until the end of your term, but also is going to allow you a look at our NFL projections for week one and access to our brand new player lab, which is going to help you do a bunch of different filtering for different trends, just a bunch of different stuff for NFL. We're really excited about what we have there. It's free for the next week and a half, and then $29.95 a month after that. Go to dfsr.com/lab, L-A-B, for that special offer, and you are all set. All right, today is... So it's a Monday full slate of games that start in the evening. Obviously, the big news that is news whenever it happens is we have a game going in Coors. And whenever there's a game in Coors, we're going to need to make some decisions about what we want to do when it comes to the bats there. Because obviously, this isn't your first DFS rodeo with FanDuel and DraftKings, you know that those sites will price adjust once a game heads over into Denver because of the altitude, because of the way the ball flies out of the park. You're going to see, you know, 20%-ish price increases, 15 to 20% for the opposing teams, a little less for the Rockies players, mostly because those prices have already been just kind of drilled in to their base from the start. But, you know, today we have the Dodgers that head into Colorado, and you're going to see a nice price jump on guys that hit, especially around the middle of the order, guys like Utley, Seager, Gonzalez, Reddick, those players are, you know, maybe once before they were in the 3,000 range, now you're seeing them around the $4,000 range. So we're going to need to decide, is it, you know, quote unquote, worth it to play those players? It's unclear a little bit right now this early in the day if that is going to be the set stack chalk of the day. I'm not positive. I think that sometimes the sites go a little overboard with how they price correct on these guys. And I think also people, you know, players, I mean, people like you and I, are a little too bullish on what the overall mean expectation is for some of these players once they head into Coors. Yes, Coors is a great place to play. It's a great place to hit. Oh, excuse me. It's a great place to play if you're a hitter. I'm not sure if it's the same if you're a pitcher, but it's a great place to hit. And of course, the run expectation boost there, but just how much? So I think that's going to be one of the bigger questions we're trying to answer on this, or I'm trying to answer on this podcast, and then something we'll be trying to answer throughout the rest of the day. So let's start with pitching. So the pitching today, there's a couple of what you would consider to be top tier plays, both in terms of talent and price. And those are Jose Fernandez and Jake Arrieta. Now, well, I guess, and Darvish too. So there's three what I would consider to be upper tier arms going. I think that for me, Arrieta kind of gets knocked out of the mix. I just don't know. There's no line on the, well, there's a money line on the game right now, but no over under. I suspect it's somewhere in that 8.5 range. I just don't know if you can pay all the way up for Arrieta's, for his peripherals. He started off the year really, really well. He was a little bit run hotty in terms of some BABIP numbers. The strikeouts were there, but it just didn't, he had like a sub 2 ERA. The xFIP wasn't really lining up with the ERA, so he was due for a regression, and that regression has come. He's still a good pitcher, but he's not an ace level. I mean, I guess he's close, but he's not really in the same category as Darvish and Fernandez. But the problem with Darvish and Fernandez too here is that they are also very expensive, and their matchups are, you know, fine-ish, but nothing that's really jumping off the page to you. Fernandez has plays against the Mets. He's away from home. He's had some different splits as opposed to when he pitches away from home or on the road, which kind of makes sense. Miami's a good pitcher's park, so it just makes sense that he would just be better in the pitcher's park than he would be. Some people equate that to just like he's worse on the road, although I think that's maybe just an overgeneralization. Most pitchers are going to be better in Miami than they are outside of Miami. So I'm not positive we can make this determination, oh, Fernandez doesn't pitch well on the road. He just happens to pitch better at home. Now, he gets the Mets today. The Mets are getting healthier, and it's not this isn't like the Mets from a month ago where they were trotting out some true losers throughout their lineup. They have Bruce there now. They have Cespedes back. Reyes and Granderson, while not, the 5 years ago versions of themselves, are adequate hitters. I know they hit Kelly Johnson second. He actually has some on-base skills. I'm just not totally sold on Fernandez having a ton of K upside in this matchup. He's a money line favorite, minus 155 right now. Implied runs for the Mets are a little north of 3. So, Vegas likes him, but they don't, it doesn't love him at that price. And really, if you're going to be priced somewhere in that 11,000 range on FanDuel, 12,000 on DraftKings, to me, in our system, Vegas is really just has to like love what it sees. And right now, I would just consider it liking. So it's in like with Jose. It's not in love with him. He has the highest raw point expectation from our system. It's close-ish. Him and Arrieta are sort of like in that group together, though I think that you see a little bit of a dip from Arrieta once we get a definitive run line on that game, which I think will be, like I said, in that 8.5 range. So I think Fernandez, I don't see Fernandez as a must. We've come on here before and talked about, sort of must-play pitchers or, like, the safest pitcher. Fernandez simply just does not strike me as that guy today because of the price. Like, if he was priced 11.7 on DraftKings, maybe we'd start considering it. But 12, if you're paying up close to 13K on DraftKings, that's a push, man. I don't know if you can spend that much considering some of the offensive expectations we have out there. And then there's Darvish. Well, and Darvish is, he's another, like, interesting guy. Like, I would consider him, obviously, ace-level elite. He has been throwing more pitches recently. He's been over 100 the last two of the last three games. So the Rangers are having no problem stretching him out. He had a little bit of walk issue in Cincinnati last game. The park wasn't great for him. He was looking really good early, but then walks sort of bit him a little bit toward in the middle innings. He walked 5 and struck out 5. He's not a favorite to do something like that again, I don't think, against the Mariners. But he's another one where I'm like, well, he's playing the Mariners. The Mariners are a top 10 team against righties this year. They don't really strike out. They're striking out less than 20% of the time. They will play 4 of their first 5 hitters will be lefties that Darvish will have to see. In Aoki, Smith, Cano, and Seager. And all those guys, they can get the job done against righties. And Cano is an elite hitter. The rest of them are well above average. And the park doesn't help Darvish here at all. So the three most expensive pitchers, I would say, all come to me with, or come into today with question marks in terms of, are they worth it for the price? Darvish is minus 166 right now with a 8.5 over. So, implied runs for Mariners are lower, but they're not really as low as you really want to see for a guy in his price range. So all three of those guys, I'm sort of saying, I don't know. The only way I can really see a lot of them coming into play for me is if we get a bunch of cheap hitters or we get some lineups released where, that run expectation dips for the team simply because they sit a guy or something. So I'm just really not that excited about those three pitchers. So where does that leave us, right? The next tier down has some players I think actually I find to be pretty interesting and in spots where we can save a little bit on pitching and get a little bit of that run expectation from the bats. So one of those guys is Rick Porcello. Now Porcello comes in here. It would be interesting to see Porcello's ownership percentage today. Now he comes in as a big favorite. He comes in somewhere around minus 200 against the Rays. The Rays, if this is your first time doing DFS, the Rays K a ton against righties this year. They have, they were striking out almost 24% of the time against righties. That is about as high as it gets in the league. Only the Padres and the Brewers strike out more than the Rays. Now the WOBA against righties isn't bad, so they're like a middle of the pack team. The park here, it's weird with Fenway because it really doesn't do much in the way of lefty power, but it will boost that righty power in terms of if you can sneak up a ball over the monster. The Rays will probably look to employ a bunch of different lefties in the lineup, but none of their lefties really scare you from that standpoint. Porcello's big thing lately, and which makes him look a little bit better on paper or for fantasy purpose than he actually might be, well, one is that he's been winning a ton. He has wins in like something like 10 of his last 12 games. Really, the win like that, I wouldn't say getting that win on the regular like that, it's probably not totally sustainable or predictable when it comes to him, though having that money line in his favor does correlate some with the chance of a win for him. He's also, though, recently, over the last, I would say, 5 games or so, really had an uptick in his Ks. He's more like a 7.5 K per 9 guy, but over the last 5 games, against teams that don't strike out a ton, like New York and Detroit. He actually has dialed it up to about a strikeout an inning. If he can keep the strikeout an inning thing going, like last time he played the Rays, actually last time out, he struck out 8 through 7 innings, did allow 9 hits, but still had a nice game, didn't get the win. He's a guy that I could see people paying for today. One, because they look at the game log for him and think like, oh my God, this guy's just a lock for 40 points in and out every night. It's just not really, probably not the case with, you just really can't pencil him in for the win, though, you know, obviously he has one of the better expectations for today. So he's a player that I could see people playing for, you know, but the thing is with him, it's interesting. So his peripherals and a guy like Trevor Bauer, who's a guy that's coming up high in the system today. Now, Bauer's big problem, the difference between he and Porcello, strikes out a few more players than Porcello, but he actually walks a ton more guys, which makes him, I would say, a little less safe in terms of a cash game performance. Their xFIPs are around the same, right around that 4 range. So you get like sort of the same, I don't know, peripheral guy. Well, excuse me, you don't get the same peripheral guy. You get sort of the same xFIP guy. Bauer's coming in also as a pretty heavy favorite against the Twins, who do strike out a decent amount. Our system is just liking Bauer just a little bit more for the money. I'll be honest with you, it makes me a little worried. I don't like to roster pitchers with this kind of walk rate because, and people will say this like in our chat, we have a chat room up on the site, and I know something will come up like, oh, Bauer's, you know, boom or bust. Like he can be good, but he also, like, you know, you can look at the 13 strikeout game against Toronto, and you're like, oh man, that's great. And then you go to the last game where he goes 6 innings, only strikes out 3, and takes him 111 pitches to get through 6 innings against Oakland, and those strikeouts just kind of disappeared. So whereas Porcello strikes me as a guy who will be a little bit more consistent with the Ks, Bauer seems to be a bit more feast or famine. I do get a little worried for cash game purposes, trotting out a guy like Bauer, though our system seems to like it today because of the money line and the opponent. If you can hear the hesitation in my voice, it's because I'm hesitant. I'm not totally sure that is the safest way to go, even though the projections seem to say it. Another guy that is showing up pretty high in the system is Musgrove. Now, if you are a frequent daily fantasy player, there's a chance you had a piece of Musgrove last game. He was really highly owned in his game against the Pirates. On FanDuel, I'm pretty sure he was the chalkiest play of the slate, and on DraftKings, he was pretty chalk too. So there's some chance, if you're listening to this and play DFS, you had Musgrove in that game. And if you did, there's a chance that like you're just coming out of your fetal position shell that you rolled yourself into this game. He was brutal. He had just had about the worst first inning of a game you can ever have. I believe he let up 5 runs in the first. He ended up only allowing 5 runs, but he goes somewhere in the negatives for his fantasy points that game. But here's the good news on Musgrove. Well, there's two pieces of good news. One is that those two recent performances for him are going to stick in people's minds. It will make people shy away or outright hate the guy, which is something that happens in DFS a lot, where people just have this complete hatred for a player that they think has, quote, screwed them in the past, or you know, they have this internalized, just they have extreme dislike for a guy that will sometimes cloud their judgment. So I believe he'll go considerably underowned. That's one good piece of news. The other piece is, well, it's good news based on this next thing. His peripherals are close to elite. He's sort of 4 games this season in the majors. He obviously comes up with pedigree. This is a real prospect. This is not just a guy off the trash heap that teams have brought up. Musgrove's a real guy. Is a highly touted prospect. He gets brought up. He's striking out more than 8 per 9. He's walking less than 1, right? His walk rate is 0.98 this year. I mean, that's not easy to do, and it actually coincides with his minor league numbers. He just does not walk guys. He had a walk rate in AAA of 1, AA 1, single A 1.4. So this is a guy who just doesn't walk players. If you do not walk guys, yes, you will get beat up a little bit because guys will put balls into play, and that's one of the things that's killing him so far. His BABIP is, you know, a little higher. Well, actually, excuse me, his BABIP over the last 2 games is what has killed him. That 5-run inning for the Pirates, I think 4 of the hits they had were singles or something like that, without looking at the game log right away. That, you know, a lot of singles strung together strikes me in that bad luck range. And his left on base percentage is 67%. It's simply not it doesn't stand to reason that he is going to continue to allow this kind of BABIP combined with that left on base percentage. And those are the exact two numbers that you can look at and say, has a guy been unlucky or has he just been bad? So Musgrove's numbers to me strike me as just straight up unlucky. The ERA is over 5. The xFIP is 3.4. These numbers are fantastic, really. And he's just been stuck, stuck a little bit with some bad luck. You know, maybe some bad pitches here and there too. I didn't watch each pitch and each game really closely. But if just looking at raw numbers on him, he's a guy I love in tournaments today for those reasons. Great peripherals. Been very unlucky, and players like us, you know, the players that put in FanDuel and DraftKings lineups will simply, too many of them will remember those last two games where they've gotten, again, quote, screwed, and say to themselves, I'm not playing this guy. Great opportunity to go a little contrarian, I think, on him. I don't know if we can call him safe for cash games. The A's don't strike out enough, you know, only 18% against righties this year for me to feel like he can really dial up a ton of K upside. But you're not going to get much better peripherals in that $7,000 range on FanDuel than you are for Musgrove. It's $7,800 on DraftKings. When you look at price tiers and what you can expect in terms of like K and just overall expectation, he's just a guy that I think you're getting a good price on. And it's funny, I was going to actually mention a comparison from him and Michael Pineda, because Pineda had a lot of the same struggles earlier this year too, where he had almost an elite K rate, great peripherals, and was just running super bad on balls put in play and left on base. And I see that Pineda is also pitching today, and he actually falls sort of in that same category as Musgrove. Cheaper salary, will dial up some Ks, runs into some left on base issues here and there, which kind of has killed some of his upside. But those two guys actually strike me as pretty similar guys, and it's just funny that Pineda was pitching and I was going to use him as the comparison. So I think that's kind of, for me, sums up where we're going with pitching today. You can maybe consider Tanner Roark against the Phillies. He's a big money line favorite today. He's kind of just a guy. He actually strikes me a lot like the Trevor Bauer type in terms of his overall peripherals, and just like he's not that exciting. He doesn't strike out. I think I'm just looking up real quick, but I'm pretty sure he doesn't strike. Yeah, he's only a 7K per nine guy with 3 walks per nine. That's that same low 4s xFIP. Hey, I'm just a dude. My ERA is 3, but the xFIP does tells a little different story there. The reason to look at him is the Phillies stink, and he's a big money line favorite for the win. So he's another guy I think you can consider. But that's kind of where I'm looking at this point in terms of my pitching exposure. I don't really see too much up and down the list that I can get too excited about other than those guys. And I'll be honest with you, I'm not even totally excited about these guys. I mean, Matt Shoemaker's a guy against Cincy maybe you can consider. He's got some K stuff. He's actually a guy maybe I should have spent a little more time on. I'm going to move on to the bats here in a second. But he's probably one more guy that falls into that maybe we can consider him range, especially on DraftKings, where I'm pretty sure he's coming pretty cheap. Yeah, at 7,200. He's actually another guy that might end up showing up in some optimal lineups later on in the day. The Reds are another team that's just not very good, especially down the bottom half of their order. Even Hamilton doesn't strike me as a guy that worries me at the top of the order. And if you've been listening to this podcast or been in the chat room, you know I have no love for some of the guys the Reds trot out there on a day-to-day basis. Duvall really does nothing for me. K's a ton. So Shoemaker's another somewhat of a money line favorite. Reds get a huge park downgrade going to Anaheim out of Great American Ballpark, so that's gonna crush some of their overall numbers. If you're looking at just their season numbers as compared to where they have to go now, they move out of one of the best ballparks to one of the worst for hitters. So yeah, Shoemaker's another guy. The DraftKings price is what's most enticing, 7,200. On the offensive side of things, obviously I started the podcast by talking about Coors. Coors is where we probably need to start making our decisions. We don't need to make them right this second. Obviously, it's too early to 9:30 in the morning Eastern to totally figure out, what the Coors exposure is going to be in terms of cash games in our system. The Dodgers start at around a 6, a little north of 6 in terms of their implied runs, and have dropped a bit to just a little less than 6. When teams don't have, huge implied runs going into a game, it's really hard. It's not hard to roster them based on, they're going in the Coors, but the price difference, for instance, example would be Chase Utley. Chase Utley will probably be hitting leadoff for the Dodgers today. He's typically a 28, let's say on FanDuel, he's typically in that 28 to 2900 range, somewhere around there. He's 3700 today. So you take the somewhere around 30% price increase. Well, do you think the Dodgers are more likely to score 30% more than their average runs today? I'm not positive about that. 30% is a huge jump. So it'd be like saying, you know, they typically are around like maybe that 4.5 to 5 implied run range. Now they're 5.5 to 6, somewhere in there. That's getting pretty close in terms of how much these guys have been have seen a price increase. I mean, obviously from a raw points perspective, guys like Adrian Gonzalez look great today. Reddick, I know Reddick's been sort of maligned in our chat room where people just don't think he's been getting it done since coming over to the Dodgers. I know he has struggled some. And if you look down his game log, it looks pretty grisly. A lot of offers in there. He sat out against some lefties too, so he hasn't played a ton. It will be interesting to see where he hits in the lineup. If the Dodgers drop him down to 6th, I don't think he's in play anymore. But if they hit him, you know, 3rd or 4th, after Turner or Gonzalez or something like that, now he's looking a little bit more interesting. You know, Justin Turner's another guy. He's pretty much a platoon. I think he's platoon neutral. His price goes up to $3,900. But you know, would you rather play $3,900 for Turner hitting 30 against Jonathan Gray and Coors, or $4,400? You know, just a bit more. $4,400 for Josh Donaldson against the lefty in Baltimore. For me, it's Donaldson, right? So some of these Coors decisions aren't made in vacuums at all, where we're going to need to look and say, well, who are some other players in this price tier? Do I want Donaldson against the lefty for 400 more or 500 more than Turner? I probably would, and I think you probably would too. Same thing at first base. We get Adrian Gonzalez, the aforementioned Adrian Gonzalez. He's coming in at 3,600 against Gray. Not a terrible, terrible price on him, but for 3,900, we can get Miggy against James Shields. That's a no-brainer to me. You know, $300 more for Miguel Cabrera. It doesn't matter. Park independent, right? Well, and it's not even park independent. We have Miggy just a significantly better projection than Gonzalez. So these Coors things, I think, can really throw people off a little bit. And I'm not positive they factor in the price enough. It will be interesting. Like, for instance, if you thought, like, let's say Miguel Cabrera and Adrian Gonzalez are around the same ownership on FanDuel tonight, and you roster Miggy, I think you've gotten your money in so much better than Gonzalez. Yes, I know it's Coors. Yes, I know the run expectation. I get all these things. If you haven't understood by now that I understand this, I clearly understand this. But Cabrera is just such a better commodity than Gonzalez. So I think we need to say to ourselves, okay, yes, sometimes Coors is worth it, but we get a game like, for instance, Detroit, like with Miggy, you know, their run expectation is right around 6 also. And, you know, right now I have them at 5.85 runs, and I have the Dodgers at 5.87 or something like that. It's very, very close, and you just get you didn't see the price increase on the Tigers guys like you did with the Dodgers guys. So all these things tend to, you know, they all come together in the sense that we need to factor all of these things in. So if I'm looking at a stack today, I think I'd just rather go Detroit for the money. You know, they're priced in that same range. It's just a better team than I might with the Dodgers. Again, I'll have to take a look at what the Dodgers lineup ends up being. They're pretty static when it comes to these things. It's usually Utley, Seager, Turner, Gonzalez, and it's like around that fifth spot that they've kind of juggled things around. Maybe it's Reddick, maybe it's Grandal. We'll have to see where they kind of shake things up. But where I'm starting off at first catcher, I'm really still looking in that Victor Martinez range. James Shields, he's just been so bad this year that you need to consider it. You need to strongly consider him on FanDuel. I know he's not DraftKings eligible, a catcher on DraftKings. I'm still looking at Wilson Ramos coming at a nice price, under 4,000 there, hitting middle of the lineup. Jake Thompson is really not a guy we need to worry about pitching for Philly. Like I said, at first base, it's really kind of, it kind of almost starts and stops with me for Miggy. The price is still very silly, all things considered, though you get Ortiz coming in at 4,000 also. It's a nice price. You get Encarnacion against the lefty at 4,200. This is all assuming we're not paying a ton for pitching today, which, you know, I kind of said at the beginning, I just don't know if I'm feeling comfortable rostering all the way up for the Fernandezes and Darvishes of the world. So, you know, I'm saying some of these guys with that assumption that, we might not be breaking the bank on pitching. Even if we did break the bank on pitching on FanDuel, I probably would still end up rostering Cabrera at 3,900. It's just too good of a spot. At second base, I think you can probably get away from Utley at 3,700 and just go more in the direction of like the Matt Carpenters and Ian Kinslers of the world, where although it's a little bit closer than the first base decision. You know, Altuve, whenever he's facing a lefty, he's in play. He faces Manaea today. Good park for him. And Altuve is just, it's really hard for lefties to get out over the court. His historical numbers against lefties are just are awesome. Actually, his numbers in general this season have been like almost like MVP worthy. That's probably a little bit of an overstatement, but not like wildly out of bounds. This guy's got, you know, high 900s OPS this year, striking out only 10% of the time, you know, walking just around the same rate, 21 homers, 26 stolen bases. This guy's been awesome this year. And I'm not sure people talk about it enough compared to some of the other, I don't know, players just on the offensive side of things. I know people know Altuve is good. I'm not positive people know he's been that good. I haven't even been totally aware until recently of just how good he's been this season. So against the lefty Manaea at 3,900 on FanDuel, if you're not paying a ton for pitching, I really don't mind it. Even the 5,000, I'll be honest with you, if you don't pay that much on DraftKings, 5,000 on DraftKings doesn't seem totally crazy to me either. This guy has just been that good with the power and the stolen base upside for him. Really keeps his floor nice and high, considering he also doesn't strike out a lot and he can get on base. After those two guys, after those guys at second, moving on to shortstop. Shortstop is a position I'm just totally fine getting away with cheap and getting out of there today. Tim Anderson is still coming way too cheap on DraftKings. On FanDuel, 2,600. That price is silly if he's sitting second in the lineup, even against Boyd, who really doesn't worry me at all. Shortstop's the position where I just want to get out cheap and just get out of there. It just doesn't, there's just not a lot that excites me there. I think Anderson ends up being sort of the chalkier play. On DraftKings, I think you can look at Carlos Correa as a guy coming in shortstop against the lefty. He's you know, fine middle of the order. Houston has an okay run expectation today. Overall, again, the shortstop position, I don't think I'm willing to pay all the way up for a guy like Seager at 5,500 on DraftKings. That price seems like it's an easier call for me to just say, oh, I'll take a $1,400 savings on Correa. Carlos Correa at 4,100 and call that a day. I don't think I need to pay all the way up for Seager, even if I'm going cheap at pitching. Third base doesn't fall within that same shortstop-y range for me in terms of just totally bad, but it's also just not looking that good. I'm not that excited of what I see here. I think you can maybe consider Bregman coming in at third. He's still hitting second in the order. He was a guy that kind of turned it around after some unlucky run bad at the beginning of the season, when he was called up, where people were really off of him. The price has climbed a little bit on FanDuel. We were getting a huge bargain on Bregman for a while, and we had to live with some of the shallower times, but he's turned it around. Still 3,400. It's an okay-ish price. A lot of these guys just fall into the okay price range for me. Shortstop and third base are probably two positions I have no problem going a little cheaper, and I'm actually kind of just at this point hoping that we get Anderson's really the play at shortstop for cheap on FanDuel. I'm hoping we see something in the way of a punt play at third, because I just don't think there's too much that I'm going to go crazy about there. And we'll finish it off in the outfield so we can kind of just get out of here for the day. Obligatory Bryce Harper mention, of course. He faces Thompson. I know he got people. It's so funny about Harper, where the guy, he's got to be one of the most hated players. I get why. He just doesn't maybe come off that great in terms of, if you're not a fan of the Nationals, I can see just not liking sort of his whole package of what he puts together and brings in the field. The helmet flying off when he runs, the hair going up and everywhere. He gets kicked out over the weekend for arguing balls and strikes. People just hate him for that. He's just the guy people just hate. Now, beyond that, though, there's been almost no one better over the last 2 weeks in terms of just like game-to-game performance than Harper. I had actually gotten into this in the chat the other day with some people who were kind of just claiming that Harper sucks. It's very hard for me to understand that complaint. I know I talked about him a ton, but I actually went back and looked for like the last 10 or 14 days average performance, and he was, I think, if not the highest, he probably was in the top three of, and actually now, because he had a fantastic weekend, he's likely just the best in terms of just average performance over the last 2 weeks. This guy has just turned back into the Bryce Harper that we were sort of waiting for in the middle of the season when he slumped a little bit in through July and August. That is no longer the case. He's hitting home runs again, hit another one yesterday. And even when he's not hitting home runs, which he has done somewhat in the short term, he's getting on base. He's still taking walks. He's getting the ball. He's not having some of the BABIP issues that he was having, which is a big problem that people maybe weren't seeing with him. He was just getting totally crushed on BABIPs, even when he was getting the ball put in play. That's regressing a little bit now. He's just doing all the things that make him Bryce Harper and make him, you know, the MVP from last year. 4,300 on FanDuel is not something that I'm really going to even think too much about. I'll just probably be rostering him for cash games. Almost 5,300 on DraftKings, too. I'm just totally, totally fine with it. And he'll be a guy that people get away from because they're going to look in cores and they're going to be more enticed by what they think they can get run expectation wise in cores. And I just don't think it's correct. You're still buying a superstar level player in the low 4,000 range on FanDuel. To me, in our system, it's just a total no-brainer. And then a couple other guys coming in there, Cameron Maybin, Rajay Davis coming sort of on the cheaper side, getting nice splits for both of those guys. I like Maybin if he's hitting second in the lineup still, which I think he will be. They've been pretty committed to keeping him there over the short term. And, you know, Jose Bautista still hitting leadoff for Toronto, 3,700. God, that's just lock and load really for me. 3,700 for a leadoff Bautista against a lefty Miley. No, really don't need to think too hard about that one. The price has come up. The price finally corrected on him on DraftKings, but FanDuel, again, is still a little slow on that. All right, that was the solo Monday podcast for DailyFantasySportsRankings.com, DFSR.com for short. Remember to head over to the site, go to the DFSR.com/lab, and that will give you a free, at this point, 10-day trial to our projection system where we have NFL projections up for FanDuel and DraftKings. We have our brand new player lab that's going to allow you to do a bunch of different filtering based on criteria like, you know, red zone attempts and load percentage and, you know, how the spreads on games, and do a bunch of different filtering for cash and tournament lineups for NFL. And that subscription will also includes MLB. Some sites like to section off their subscription services based on sport, or even based on sport and site. We don't do that. If we offer projections for a sport and you're a member, you get everything that we offer all under one umbrella. It's free for the next 10 days leading up to NFL season, and then it's $29.95 a month after that, and you are all set for MLB, NFL from now for the 10 days, and just going forward into NBA also, we'll have it all under that same subscription. All right, guys, DFSR.com. Have a good one. Have a good Monday. We'll be back again tomorrow with James talking some more baseball talk, and we'll also be talking some football on our football podcast as well. Please subscribe on iTunes to both. Take it easy.